We are about to hear from an extraordinary artist and great filmmaker, probably one of the greatest artists of our time, and certainly one of the greatest filmmakers of all time. And Dr. Shyam Das, who's a charter member of TAI, is going to welcome David Lynch on stage. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hagelin. For next half hour, you'll be spending time with famous Hollywood movie producer and director, Mr. David Lynch. He will be answering your questions, therefore please start sending your questions for David Lynch. Now let me please join me to welcome Mr. David Lynch.
How are you guys doing?
I have several questions for you.
Good evening,
Dr. Travis or Dr. Hagelin, but I want to start one question with David. David, you were on the front page of the Time magazine, and the Time told you you are a genius. You have been nominated 3 times as the best director for 3 of your films in the Oscar. Your films fathom the depth of creativity. You have been meditating for 32 years. I would like to know, is meditation anyway helping you to bring out the dormant creative portion from your subconscious brain?
Yes. I started meditating in 1973. Many of you here in this room have your roots in India. You grew up with meditation. I grew up in the northwest of the United States, born in Missoula, Montana. I very rarely heard the word India and never heard the word meditation when I was growing up. And at first, when I heard about meditation, I thought it was a total waste of time. I said, what are these people doing sitting cross-legged in the forest in India? And I said, I got things to do, and this isn't for me. And then I heard a phrase, true happiness is not out there, true happiness lies within. And I hear a ring of truth to this, but they don't tell you where the within is or how to get there. And then the penny dropped, and I thought, wait a minute, maybe meditation is that way to dive within, to go in, and maybe there is an ocean of pure happiness within. Maybe. And then I find out there's many, many kinds of meditation. Many. How in the world can you pick a meditation not knowing? How in the world do you find that? And along came my little sister calling one day and said she had started transcendental meditation as taught by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And she told me something about it. And then I hear a change in her voice. I'm more secure, more happiness. And I say, wait a minute, this is for me. And I started. And I went down to a center in Los Angeles, and they told me to come down Saturday morning and I would be taught how to meditate. I was taken into a room. I was going through a ceremony and given my mantra. I went in. They told me to sit down comfortably, close my eyes, start this mantra, which I did. And as I say, it was like I was in an elevator and they cut the cable and whoo, I went into pure bliss, so beautiful, so huge, such a fantastic experience, and unlike any other kind of experience. And I've been doing it ever since. And what has happened is that I had this anger, I had anxieties, I had fears. Little by little, these things start lifting away. This is money in the bank for the entrepreneur, money in the bank for the filmmaker. Negativity squeezes that creativity and squeezes that energy and squeezes that inspiration, and we just don't, not only do we not enjoy life, but we don't get those ideas, and we just don't get that creativity flowing and that bliss flowing. And when those things start lifting away and we really and truly experience pure consciousness, it's a different ball game. Sorry, that's a very long answer, but Shyam, thank you for asking it.
Thank you. I have another question from the audience. I commend your goal of using meditation to spread world peace. However, this is a little bit differently said. 2,500 cost seems steep.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't the techniques offered free of charge?
Exactly.
Other techniques are, that's...
When you go down and get a Mercedes-Benz, you know you're going to have to pay a lot of money. And you're happy to do that. That's what you want. Meditation is there. Maharishi's been working in the world for 50 years to bring enlightenment to the individual and peace on earth. Two ancient Vedic technologies here for people. Now, it costs $2,500 right now to start. I started for $35 when I started in 73. But if you want this, it's there for you, and it works. And you take this thing, and it's there for the rest of your life. The teacher who teaches you is full-time. They're not working on anything else but teaching you. They're there for you anytime you want to talk about the knowledge, this beautiful Vedic knowledge, any questions you have, they're like mentors. And they deserve some money. The movement, how many people are working night and day to try to help bring this world peace as quickly as possible? This takes money. And this old thing about spiritual things or certain things like this being free, those things are, I think, gone into a book of absurdities. There's a thing that a desire for it is part of this process, and it really works, and it's there for you every single day, and your life will get better and better and better.
You have another question from the audience. Mr. Lynch, please explain Mulholland Drive. A. Second, how do you explain the violence in your movies if you are such a TM follower?
Stories are always going to be told, and stories are always going to have conflict. But as I say, you don't have to suffer to show suffering in a story. You can get freer and freer and freer from suffering once you start expanding consciousness. You dive within, you experience this pure consciousness, and it begins to grow. Negativity starts to recede. You enjoy the doing, and ideas are the number one thing for me. I love to catch an idea that I fall in love with. And if you have a golf ball-sized consciousness, all sorts of things end up being golf ball-sized. Your understanding, your awareness, your wakefulness, your inner happiness. Small. You start expanding that ball of consciousness, and everything starts getting, the awareness grows, the understanding grows, the appreciation for everything starts to grow. And you own more territory. As that ball goes, these ideas, everything, as you heard from Dr. John Hagelin, is emerging from that unified field. We need ideas. Ideas are solutions to problems. Ideas are the thing. And if you can catch them, it's like catching fish. You have a desire, it's like a bait, and you own more and more of this territory, those ideas will come. And it works. Expanding consciousness is the name of the game.
Well, I have so many questions which will be difficult to answer all, but I'm selecting at my discretion. Here is another question. Why does it take a white man to sell TM to Indians like it took? the Beatles to introduce the sitar to Indian or Rajneesh?
We're all human beings. And India has been called the big brother spiritual nation of the world. It has kept the Vedic knowledge alive throughout time. I'm from Missoula, Montana, and I'm telling, you know, many of you with roots in India about this, but it's for human beings. India, the land of the Ved. Veda means total knowledge. It's all the laws of nature. It's eternal. It exists in seed form in the unified field. Humans are built for this experience, and I have a selfish reason for wanting to be here. I want all of you to be successful and multimillionaires, but I want you to enjoy the trip. No suffering, no anxiety and stress and horror stories. Enjoy the doing. Then you look back and you see the trip was really beautiful. And yes, I have this success. And when you get to be multimillionaires or billionaires, give some of that to the David Lynch Foundation and help spread consciousness-based education, which brings this education to students that make them blossom. The full potential of us human beings is enlightenment. And we all have this as our birthright, and this unfolds it, that experience, deepest level of existence, unified field, the absolute, pure bliss consciousness. Dive in, experience that, you got it made.
Here you have a question from one of your fans. Please train few students to make the kind of movies you have made in future. Thanks.
Okay, I'll do that, Sham.
I have a question. Maybe you can join as well
sure.
as Dr. Hagelin.
Should I sit down then, Sham?
Okay.
Okay, thank you all very,
well,
very
no,
much.
No, we have more questions for you.
You have more questions. I'll stay here then.
Yeah, we have more questions for you. I want to give you a little rest. What happens to the brain when children play a game, food, good or bad, for the brain development? Any of you can want to do that?
Could you repeat the question, please?
What happens to the brain when children play a game? Does it have a good effect, a developmental effect, or bad developmental effect? Any of you want to take that?
Yeah. What the effect is every experience changes the brain. So if the experience is wholesome, if it's expanding, those are the circuits that the child are building up. If it's small, if it's negative, if it's mean, then those are the circuits that are being built up. And so the playing of the child is really structuring the neural circuits, the neural networks that are going to take them through life.
Dr. Hagelin, possibly this is for you. What is the meaning of life for you also, I guess? And how is it different by the formulas we have seen earlier on the screen? What is the meaning of the life? How can you describe it through the formulas that you have said that everything is in this equation?
Therefore, in 10 seconds or less, I think an astute observer of life would probably all agree the purpose of life seems to be to progress, to evolve in knowledge, evolve in power, and to grow towards fulfillment. It doesn't matter whether you're looking at a tree or a lizard or a human being. Every living organism seems to have one thing in common: growing. Growing in power, growing in knowledge, growing in evolutionary complexity. So it seems to me expanding life to be bigger than the biggest, experiencing the most, experiencing our inner infinite nature, must therefore ultimately be the purpose of life. And when you look at the structure of the human brain, how it's wired, you would have to say, yes, this appears to be the fundamental purpose of life. And those formulas, they speak for themselves.
Dr. Travis, there are a few questions related to you. What is the effect of depression on higher brain functions? Can meditation cure chronic depression? Maybe you can also help.
The effect of depression is the CEO, the frontal areas of the brain, are actually less active. And so your irrational, limbic, strong emotions go up and completely overtake the brain. Because when you're depressed, you see no way out of it. And so what happens with transcendental meditation practice, strengthening the CEO of the brain, it actually helps the frontal areas modulate your rising and falling in emotions. And this has been seen in a meta-analysis of 144 studies looking at anxiety, and finding that TM practice reduced anxiety 3 times more than other meditation relaxation responses.
Thank you.
Yes.
Again, there's another question for you. You spoke about frontal cortex. How does meditation help left and right brain?
Thank you very much. What is happening in some experiences is one part of the brain is more active, another part of the brain is more active. And that's to allow you to analyze, to synthesize, to globally come up with ideas. What happens with the TM program is balance. The left and right sides of the brain become more balanced and functioning, the front and back. What you're doing is you're laying down an integrated background, a global whole, upon which you can integrate all of the individual experiences that you have.
Thank you.
Thank you.